Three wise women associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we have mentioned Elizabeth. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who of course became the father of John the Baptist. A lady, probably as we would put it today, in her middle age. A married lady. And then we're introduced to, of course, Mary, who most likely was still in her teens, probably late teens. She was not yet married. And then in Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to an elderly lady called Anna, who for many years had been a widow. So three ladies, three different ages, three states of life, you could say, one not yet married, one a widow. But all three had something in common, something wonderful in common. They were very wise when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, even at his birth. And I believe they have much to teach us about wisdom. So no matter what age we are, married, unmarried, widow, widower, young person, man, woman, there's wonderful lessons here about wisdom. Thinking of that, it comes into my mind, Solomon, as a young man facing all the daunting responsibilities of becoming king. You remember after he offered 1,000 sacrifices at the altar, that night the Lord appeared and asked him what he wanted. What did he say? Wisdom. And that pleased the Lord. Wisdom. We need to have wisdom. Three things that I believe mark out them as wise women. The first one is this. All three reverenced the sovereign God. All three reverenced the sovereign God. Sometimes we refer to reverence as to fear God. To fear God means we reverence him. And we know from Old Testament scriptures the fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all three of these ladies reverenced the Lord. When you look back to chapter 1 and 6, you'll see about Elizabeth. She was obviously a lady that reverenced the Lord, for it says that she, along with her husband, were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Doesn't mean they were sinless, but it meant that outwardly, no one could point the finger at their life because they kept the commandments of God. And that is a mark of reverence. Psalm 112 verse 1, blessed is the man or the person that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. She had the mark of an individual that reverenced God because she read his commandments, she knew them, and she obeyed them. There's no point in saying we fear God and reverence him if we've no desire to obey his commandments. So this lady, a godly lady, a wise lady. And then we turn to verse 50 of the first chapter, thinking of Mary. And Mary sang about fearing God. This is a wonderful song. It's actually in the form of a song. Some people call it the Magnificat because it starts with magnify the Lord. But in verse 50 of chapter 1, and his mercy is on them that fear him. So she sings about fearing the Lord. And I believe we can see her fear again in verse 38. Here's the mark that she was a lady that reverenced the Lord. For when the angel told her that she was going to have a child, look at her response in verse 38. Mary, you're going to have a child. How can this be? Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. See that word handmaid? That is the name for the lowest servant. The lowest servant. And Mary, when she hears this startling news that would shake her to the very core of her being, what did she say? Lord, your will. Whatever your will for my life is, I'm your slave. My, she was a young lady in probably her late teens, and she reverenced the Lord because of her submission. And then we think of her song of praise. Isn't it wonderful? In verse 46, she begins this great song. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's a mark of someone reverences the Lord. They praise Him. They worship Him. They have a desire within their heart to worship Him. And it's interesting, for you go down from verse 46 to the end of verse 45, talks about Abraham and to his seed forever. You know what you'll find? You spend time going through that. And if you have what's called a margin Bible, what I mean is a Bible, you sometimes get editions where it gives you references in the middle or at the side. You know what you'll find? 15 times she quotes from Old Testament scriptures. In other words, these words were not just made up by Mary. She is quoting the Word of God. She was a teenager who reverenced God, for she knew God's Word. Isn't that amazing? Now, that is astounding. Because she didn't have a copy of the Scripture. Of course she didn't. There are only some scrolls kept in synagogues. So she must have memorized Scripture through hearing it read in the synagogue. Possibly, maybe in a school connected with the synagogue where the Word of God was taught, but we don't know. But certainly, we can be fairly sure it was through hearing and through meditating and through memorizing the Scriptures she burst forth in a song that's full of Scripture. So I'm glad this morning we sang John 3:16. Because next time you hear the tune Silent Night, will you remember, John 3:16, and go over it in your mind. Mary was a young lady who reverenced God. And not only that, if you go through these verses and look in the margin, you know what you'll find? She quoted from the Psalms. She quoted from Genesis chapter 12 and 17. She quoted from the prophecy of Micah. And she quoted a lot from 1 Samuel chapter 2, the song of Hannah, another wise woman. So it's amazing, this song. She was a lady that reverenced God because of her submission and because of the song, the scriptural song of praise. But let's turn to Anna in chapter 2. Is she wise? Of course she is. Because in verse 37 of chapter 2, she was a widow. Then it gives this age. Departed not out of the temple, from the temple, but served God. Fastings and prayers. She served God. Not amazing. What's a sign of someone reverences the Lord? You serve Him. And here's a lady of a great age, and she's in God's house serving the Lord. She's continually in His house. Every opportunity she has, she's in God's house, praising God and serving God with prayers. Now, it's wonderful she's in the temple. You say, well, couldn't she have praised God and served God and her family at home? Of course. And I'm sure she did. If she had any family, we're not told she did. But in the temple. In the temple. She was wise enough to know that to approach God, she needed to come by the blood. Because the temple was the center of sacrificial worship. The temple was the place of the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. The sign of the presence of God. Remember, Daniel was hundreds of miles away. This was centuries before. The temple at that time had been destroyed. It was rebuilt in Anna's time. But yet when he prayed, you know what he did? He opened his window and he looked in the direction of Jerusalem. Now, he couldn't see it. It was hundreds of miles away. What was he doing? It wasn't some magical... Didn't think, oh, if I do that, it'll make my prayers more effective. No. He wanted to look in that direction to get into his mind. Oh, in Jerusalem there was the temple, there was the morning and afternoon lamb. And oh God, I'm coming before you through the sacrifice of a substitutionary lamb. I'm coming to you through the blood. Why, this woman was wise. She came to God in the temple. Oh, I trust that every one of us here knows deep grained in our minds that we can only approach the Lord through the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He is our temple. Christ said that one day, greater than the temple is here. He is the Lamb. His blood saves. But also, you'll see, she was very wise because she was called a prophetess. She's called that, a widow. She served in the Lord. And she believed was this, and people came to her. Verse 36, Anna, a prophetess. Now, I don't think it's insinuating that she stood up and preached. I don't mean that for a moment. But what it means, I believe, is this, that she was a lady with special insight to God's will. And she knew the Lord and she knew His ways. And when people needed advice, when people needed a decision in life, oh, we'll ask Anna. There's a wise lady who knows the Lord. And thank God for mothers in Israel. You know, there are many wise women who know the Lord. You get to know that as a pastor of many years. Sometimes you visit some dear saint that maybe isn't recognized as she should in the local assembly, but maybe she never speaks out, she never prays publicly, never does. But yet when you visit with them in illness, oh, you say, there's a woman, prophetess in this sense, she knows the Lord. She knows the Lord. See, it doesn't mean that she knows the future. That's what we usually think of a prophet. Thank God for wise women and men who know the Lord. But let's go on. I believe these three women were wise because they reverenced the sovereign God. But number two, they recognized the Savior. They recognized the Savior. And this is really amazing. The Holy Child Jesus, as He's called. Now, how did all three women recognize the Savior? Well, obviously because of Scripture. Because they were women that reverenced the Lord, they knew the Old Testament promises. And they were longing that Messiah would come. They were longing. They were praying. Maybe they even knew the prophecy of Daniel about the weeks. That it was coming near the time. But I believe Scripture was in their mind. And they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. Just as the aged Simeon was a few verses earlier in chapter 2. But let's look at it a little bit closer. You see, the Spirit of God revealed Christ to them. And this is so important. Look in chapter 1, verse 35. I'm speaking now, the Spirit of God caused them to recognize Christ. Look at verse 35. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and the one that shall be born, the one that will be in you, conceived by the Holy Ghost, is the Son of God. Son of God. We need the mighty, sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. No person can call Christ Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody could say the words, of course, but it means really acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior of your life. It takes a revelation of God the Holy Spirit to you. Because we are darkened by sin. And like Isaiah 53, we see no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. But thank God this morning many of us can say there was a day when God the Holy Spirit opened the eyes and we saw the Savior. Mary, it was revealed to her by the Spirit that that child, not yet born but conceived within her womb, is the Son of God. But the one about Elizabeth's amazing. It's absolutely astounding. You see, you go down to verse 41, and I'll show you how it takes a great work of the Holy Spirit. It came to pass, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. Sorry, I should have said that she was 6 months expecting. When her cousin Mary, who was just a few weeks at most expecting, came, and Mary comes in, salutes her. And the middle of verse 41, immediately I heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Note that. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How did Elizabeth know Mary was expecting? I couldn't help when I was reading this thing way back when we were in America in 1970. We were with someone that worked as a missionary college there. And I remember a lady, we found it very strange. She was actually daughter-in-law to the chairman of the mission, and she told us of a strange experience. She had been married some time, and there was a sister of the founder of New Tribes was there, and she worked with people's feet, you know, massaging the feet and working with them. And she went round giving these massages, and she turned to this lady and she said to her, When are you expecting your baby? What? She said, well, my husband and I have told nobody. How do you know? Well, I can tell by your feet. So, I don't know. So, don't come and ask me how she knew. I don't know. But anyway, they told us that night. But I'll tell you, you see this with Elizabeth, this is absolutely miraculous. It's miraculous. Don't miss it by reading it quickly. Mary was only a few weeks since the child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And yet Elizabeth knew how the Holy Spirit filled her. It was only by the Holy Spirit that she knew that Mary was expecting a child. But it's more than that. Because you've got to read this in Scripture. This is so tremendous. You see, he's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of wisdom. But notice something else in verse 42, what she spake out. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, now verse 43, and whence is this to me that the mother, now note this, of my Lord. You know, we could digress here and go into the awful crime of abortion. Mary was just a few weeks expecting. Just a few weeks. And yet look what Elizabeth said. She said, that child in your womb, he's my Lord. You see it there in verse 43? Don't miss it. Underline it. He's my Lord. Isn't that amazing? The Savior wasn't born yet. And yet Elizabeth praises God and says that that young child being formed by the miraculous immaculate conception, we call it. I'm not talking about Mary being immaculately conceived, by the way. That's a heresy. But we're talking about the Savior conceived by the Holy Ghost, the virgin conception. And yet Elizabeth knew by the Holy Spirit that that child who would be born some months later is none other than the mighty God of heaven. You know what that tells me? This woman was wiser than a lot of the old modernists today. Because there are people today deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Unitarians and others. But Elizabeth here is saying, His deity, He's God. His humanity, He's man. Now, isn't that tremendous knowledge? Isn't that wisdom? Isn't that wisdom? To think that that little baby been formed in Mary is none other than the mighty God of heaven. She got the meaning of the incarnation, God manifest in flesh. How? You say, hi, it's just miraculous. Of course it's miraculous. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you turn, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But thank God the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves. But you think of Mary too. Well, let's turn to Anna. Just turn over to chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2, and we'll think of Anna. How did she recognize? Here she is, and don't want to go through all the verses again, but she saw Simeon, as a man and held the baby. 40 days of age, I want to remind you, it's 40 days old this takes place. Just a young child. Just think of it. Month and a half old. And look, verse 38, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him, the baby, to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. What did she tell them? He's come. He's here. I've seen him. He's still only a baby, a month and a half old, but he's the Redeemer, the promised Redeemer of Israel, who we're told would come. The descendant of Abraham, the seed of woman. He's here. How did Anna recognize our Savior at a month and a half old? The Holy Spirit opened her understanding. Not amazing. The Holy Spirit opened her understanding. You see, you need the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to you. Do you know the Savior? You've heard the stories. Maybe you've sat in church for years and you know the stories. You know the story of Christ's virgin birth. You know about his virtuous life. You know about his vicarious death, that he died for sinners, that he rose victoriously. But let me ask you this morning, do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as the mighty God, the perfect man who is our Redeemer? Oh, listen, if you don't this morning, let me tell you what to do. Cry out right now, Spirit of God, open my eyes. Spirit of God, save me. That's what you need to do. Save me. Cry out for him. I love the hymn. It's written by the same hymn writer who wrote our last hymn we're going to sing later. A very wise woman, Elizabeth. And she wrote this wonderful, wonderful word. She wrote, more about Jesus would I know, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. We need the Spirit of God to teach us. That's why prayer is so important. That's why as we gather in times of prayer as a church, those times are important. Because we're asking the Spirit of God would reveal Christ to us. Oh, ask him this morning. If you're not saved and you don't know him personally, oh, Spirit of God, you revealed that unborn baby to Mary and to Elizabeth that he was actually the Savior. You revealed to Anna when he was a month and a half old that he's a Redeemer. Reveal him to me today. Call upon the Holy Spirit to save you. One last one. I believe they're wise because they reverenced the Sovereign God. They recognized the Savior. And because they all three rejoiced in salvation. They rejoiced in salvation. You see, the Bible says the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. And these three ladies are saved ladies. And that's a wise thing to be saved. It's wise to know salvation. Look at Mary in her song. Verse 47 of chapter 1. Just try and go through it. Just briefly here. Chapter 1, verse 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She said, I'm saved. I'm saved. And there's wonderful phrases. Oh, I'll just underline them quickly for you. These are Old Testament pictures of salvation. Look at verse 48. He'th regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. That's speaking of salvation. The Lord looking upon we poor sinners. And then, verse 49, he hath done great things for me. That's salvation, to know God has done great things for you. Verse 52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree. I think of the Old Testament verse, he takes us out of the dust heap and beggars, and he lifts us to sit among princes. Look at verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things. My, when you're hungry spiritually, the Lord comes and fills us. But there's another picture here. You see, Mary was the mother of our Lord. The Holy Spirit conceived within her the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect human and yet God. The miracle of the virgin conception. It's a miracle. Christ was literally formed within her. Grew as any unborn child grows, then was born. Born as any child is born. Now, of course, virgin conception. But he was born as other children are born. He grew as men grow. He was human. But yet he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. No earthly father. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of the virgin birth. The conception. Christ was formed in her. And you know, that picture of the formation of that body that had been prepared by God, you remember Psalm 40, it's a picture of salvation. Because salvation, in a sense, of course it's not exactly the same, but in a sense, is Christ being formed in us. Remember Paul said that, he wrote to a church, he strove until Christ be formed in you. We sang last week in one of our hymns, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in. You remember the line? Be born in us today. And the hymn writer is picturing salvation like this, as the Paul also said, Christ in us. You see, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not saved. What is salvation? Salvation is having the Lord, the Savior, coming into you, being born in you, being born again by the Spirit of God. Salvation is more than a decision. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. It's not following a church. It's not following a code of conduct. Salvation is Christ within you. How is Christ born within you? It's a miracle. But thank God, the same Spirit of God who conceived the Savior in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he causes salvation, the new birth. Christ coming in to our life. Let me just think of Anna here in chapter 2. Isn't it amazing? I believe she was obviously a saved lady. And it's wonderful, I'll just point out this as before we leave her, something very interesting. We're given her name in verse 36, Anna, and we're given the tribe of Asher, or Old Testament, there's an H there, Asher. You know what Asher means? Blessed. See, when you read in the Old Testament, blessed, it's the tribe Asher. It's the same word, Asher. Actually, it's plural. Blessednesses. This lady, happinesses. She was a joyful lady. She knew the joy of salvation. Her name, Anna. You know what Anna means? Same as the Old Testament, Hannah. Grace, or gracious. Oh, she knew salvation because the Lord had been gracious to her. And she was joyful. Do you see her father's name there, Phanuel? That's from the Hebrew for Peniel. Some of you remember the story. Remember Jacob named the place where he wrestled with the angel Peniel. Well, that Phanuel is translated in the Greek is from the same word. Face to face. Face to face. I think those meanings are important. What is salvation? Salvation brings true happinesses, blessedness into a life. Why? Because Christ said, this is the purpose of life. This is the purpose of life eternal, that you might know God. Salvation is knowing the Lord, face to face with Him. Salvation is coming into that relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Anna knew the Lord. She knew salvation. She was a godly lady. A godly lady. And she knew what we touched on already in the temple. There was a time in her life when she was saved. We're not told when it is, but I believe she must have been, because Old Testament saints, I know this is New Testament, it's before Christ's death and resurrection, but they're all saved the same way, by believing in Christ. There must have been a time in her life, as in Mary's and in Elizabeth's, when they trusted in the coming Saviour for them, who was yet to die. Because this lady knew that she needed to be redeemed. We need to be redeemed because we're in bondage. The bondage of sin, the power of sin, the bondage of the curse of a broken law, the bondage of the fear of death. We need to be set free. We need to be redeemed. How do I know she believed and she needed to be redeemed? Well, it tells you. It tells you there in verse 38. She spake of him, Christ, to all them that looked for redemption. How there was others who were hungry to be saved. Knew that they needed a redeemer. This lady spoke of redemption. Now this is amazing. This lady knew the joy of salvation. Now, listen. She had never seen or read of the miracles of Christ. She had never seen or read of the great sermons the Saviour preached, or of how he was so loving to the brokenhearted. She had never seen and read about the Saviour suffering on Calvary. She had never read about his great shout of triumph, "It's finished." She had never heard how he rose from the grave, but yet she believed he was going to purchase her redemption. That's amazing. And yet today, we have the story. And maybe you're here this morning and you know how he died and rose again and you're still not saved. As we'd say in Ulster, you're not wise. You're not wise. She had so little, but she had the promises of God. Oh, these women were wise. Three wise women. And she witnessed. See that? She spoke to others. She was so full of the joy of salvation, she told others. She wanted others to be saved. I think of Daniel, "He that winneth souls is wise." She was a wise lady in that she witnessed. May God give us opportunities as a church to witness for him. Three wise women. At the end of this year, last Lord's Day, listen, we need to emulate the characteristic of these women. Oh, that God would increase our reverence for the sovereign God. We need to walk in the fear of God. We need to recognize our Savior. In the busyness of life, take time to see the Savior. And we need to rejoice in salvation, because what a witness that will be to others. And let's seek to serve the Lord in our families and in the community.